And in Matthew chapter 22, the words which open verse 5, they made light of it. That is to say, they made light of the content of the gospel, that they made light of the preacher of the gospel, and they made light of the contents of the gospel. And the consequences, as this parable shows, were eternal, were enormous. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? For they made light of it. They made light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want first just to work through this passage and then to bring you other ones which teach the same doctrine. Jesus here is teaching about entering into the kingdom. Perhaps, if you like, prior to that, the preaching that brings men into the kingdom, the new birth that brings people into the kingdom. And indeed, there will be a feast in heaven when all his own are gathered. And here the Lord is speaking about servants who themselves were cast out. Because those servants are the Jewish nation, and the others are Gentiles who came afterwards. But this parable is capable of referring, of calling us as individuals. So we think of ourselves as individuals. And the gospel constantly says, come. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Come unto me, said Jesus. Come. And in the midst of that great feast, he says, come to me and drink. Come. The necessity is to come to the Lord Jesus. I know I've told you before, but I always remember with affection, I suppose I might have been about 6, I don't know. But as I was walking down the next road that ran parallel to us, there was a little kitten, just about eyes open stage. And I saw him there, and my young heart was, well, you like young things, don't you, when you're young? And I tried to get him to come to me. I think initially I thought he'd run because he'd like to come. But he didn't. And I kept saying, puss, puss, puss. Puss, puss, puss. And then eventually he came a little bit, very cautiously, quite right that he should have been cautious. Deeply important thing for him to have as a cat. Puss. And eventually he did come. And he let me stroke his ear before he disappeared again. Well, not only did it make my day, I still remember it. But he came. He needed a bit of persuading, but he came. Perhaps it was right because of his cat nature that he should be a little wary. And of course human beings have to be wary. There are those who would take young people or even take the older and destroy their lives. But Jesus, oh, he may be trusted. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks nothing but our good and to turn us away from the things in our life that are already spoiling it. And so the Lord constantly says, come. And it was publicly saying, come, he said it at the feast. He said it when the most people were gathered together. He said it when they were thinking about spiritual things. Come unto me. Don't worry about the externals. Don't worry about the things. Don't think, if you like, just of coming to church. Don't think just of enjoying the singing of hymns. Don't just think of the being with other Christians. Come to me. And of course, as I've often said to you also, this is a preaching sanctuary. And we have nothing. No choirs, no anything. no ceremonial clothing. All we have is the preached word affecting our hearts to worship. If we don't come to him while we're in service, then it's meaningless. But not to come to the Lord Jesus initially, to be saved, to make light of it when we hear of it, is a terrible thing to do. Fancy preaching the gospel. It's people who are only 40 and 50 and they make light of it, and here's God, eternal. What an insult. They made light of it. God hates the making light of the gospel of his dear son. God hates the making light of the contents that comprise the gospel of his dear son. They made it worse, of course, because we read here that they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. He's putting one of the other gospels. I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. I bought a plot of land, and therefore I cannot come. And of course it's made worse. Jesus has come. Oh, but it's much more important that I go to the shops. Jesus has come. Oh, it's much more important than I think about the things that are on my mind at the moment. That adds insult to injury. They made light of it. They carried on as if they had no invitation. They went their ways. We know from scripture teaching that that is a dangerous thing to do, for we are all sinners. And if we do go our own way, and if we do go through life as natural beings, just being as we were born and growing up like that, we're in great danger. But they made light of it, made light of the gospel, went their ways. I've married a wife, I cannot come. I've got things to do on the farm that require my attention. So, if that wasn't bad enough, there was a generation that mistreated the preachers. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Down the years, Christian ministers, preachers of the gospel, those who've loved the Bible, have been mistreated by those who make light of the gospel. And that also aggravates their terrible destruction. And then the Lord Jesus tells his parable, and he says, those who were bidden to this feast are not worthy. In other places, he says, I won't let them come. And instead of the Jews, will be the Gentiles. And he says, go into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. That's why I chose the hymn, let not fitness make you, sorry, let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. Just as many as you find when you preach, bring them. But from what follows, we see that going to get as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage, means understanding why, understanding what the gospel is, understanding the forgiveness of sins, understanding the person of the Saviour to draw you to yourself. As many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. And the servants went and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Not for us to make a judgment about anybody we meet. The Lord, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All we do is preach the gospel. All we do is seek to speak to them about the Saviour. We make no judgment as to whether they are good or whether they are bad. The Lord shows his honour sometimes in changing the worst, the most vile of creatures, whom nobody normally would have thought fit for church. and disciples went out into the highways, gathered together as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. If you just left the story there, that you would think, well, good and bad were invited without change. But the good were invited because they needed saving. And the bad were invited because they needed saving. And if they didn't make light of the gospel, both the good and the bad would know the essential nature of needing to be saved, needing to be changed, needing the Lord to forgive their sins, pay the penalty for their sins. And that's why, in the next bit of the story, the Lord came in to see the guests and saw there a man that had not a wedding garment. Now, there's been no mention of that, and you say you would think that both bad and good would have been welcome. Well, they were, but only under the necessity of a change. The idea of a wedding garment was familiar. If you hadn't got a wedding garment, even if you were invited, you'd come in by the back door. You'd have been given a garment as you entered the door by the servants. If you didn't have a wedding garment, you stuck out like a sore thumb. And the implication here, of course, is you didn't come through the back front door because you had mischief in your mind. While everybody else was engaged in doing this, you'd pinch a few things or something else like that. But here was an unchanged man. He'd come to take what he could get without believing the gospel, without trusting in him, and all the other things that go along with being a true believer. This man who did not have a wedding garment. And so the Lord said, how did you come in without a wedding garment? The man just was speechless, that is to say, he couldn't really say in front of the man himself how he got in. He got in under false pretenses. He hadn't believed. And the terrible punishment, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called. We are to call many through the preaching of the gospel, but they're not all chosen. But to make light of the preaching of the gospel is a terrible, terrible thing. It's happened, of course, all down history. It happened, you remember, in the days of Lot. Lot, you remember, was in Sodom. And in the days of Sodom, there was a great deal of terrible sin. And the day came when in kindness the Lord Jesus came in a pre-incarnate visit, and he said to Lot and his family, you've got to come out. Tonight there will be sudden destruction. Then the angel says, go and tell to the daughters, go and tell your fathers, go and tell your husbands. And Lot went. And what was the comments? The only thing I'm interested in here. He seemed as one that mocked. His father-in-law seemed as one that mocked. Here was Lot saying to them, today it's going to be destroyed. And they thought to themselves, nonsense. Nonsense. It's always been like this. Why suddenly tonight should there be destruction? The words aren't the same as the words used in Matthew. They made light of it. But they thought their father-in-law was mocking them. He seemed as one that mocked. He was having them on. He was making fun of them. But he wasn't. Peter in 2 Peter 3 puts it another way, that there are those who thought that the world would go on forever and ever as it's always been, who were making the same argument. Would there be a coming of the end of the world? Would there be a destruction of this world by fire? Would the Lord return suddenly? Well, all my lifetime the world's been going just the usual way. Or my dad's lifetime, or my granddad's lifetime, or my granddad's. Since the time of the New Testament, life's been going on in the ordinary way. Since the beginning, life's been going on in the ordinary way. And Peter says, but they deliberately left out the thing they didn't want to take into consideration. The flood. The flood would have warned them that when the Lord says sudden destruction will be coming, he means it. It's no thing laughing matter. It is no matter to think it's not happened in my lifetime. When the gospel is preached, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And so it was that many who have heard the gospel make light of it, choose not to believe it, choose to think that such a thing couldn't happen in their day. And what did Jesus say about Noah and his time? What were they doing? They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and marrying. Those days, of course, the father gave the bride away. They were carrying on as normal. In all the years that the ark was being built, the Lord's patience was being tried. But all that time, the gospel was being preached, and they did not believe the flood was coming. They thought that Noah was having them on. They didn't think that they would be destroyed shortly rather than later, if at all. But what were they doing? Carrying on with life as normal. And what is the greatest error now? When you hear the preaching of the gospel, to carry on life as normal would be the destruction of you, be the end of you. When you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, pay heed. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary, why did he die? Did he not die because I am a sinner, because you're a sinner? Did he not die to bear in himself the wrath that I deserved? When God turned away from him, he died as he bore that thing. And if we aren't covered by the blood of Christ, we will die unsaved. That is to say, to be bound hand and foot and go into chains of everlasting darkness. Oh, there's no error like the error of hearing the gospel. How beautiful upon the, well, is the preaching of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. But to hear that gospel and to make light of it, or believe that it's having you on, or to believe the things that are spoken are not true. And in our own day, to hear the gospel being preached as the way of salvation, as the way of forgiveness, as the way of pardon, the way of being made right with God, and to reject all that will put us in the situation of Noah. Maybe we'll be grown up by then and wanting to get married. They'll be giving in marriage, be eating and drinking, going to the shops, preparing food, all the things that we do. And just as the flood came on them unexpectedly, so the Lord Jesus will return unexpectedly. They'll be in the middle of doing the things they've always done, life carrying on as perfectly normal. And they won't spot it, that the danger is about to overwhelm them. do not make light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most valuable thing in all the world. Jesus says that. The man who found the treasure hid in a field, and he only had to take one look at it to know it was the best thing of all. Or the man who was seeking goodly pearls saw this pearl, knew he could never find one better. When we hear the gospel, we look into the Lord Jesus Christ and into the Bible, and we see that there's enough there to last a lifetime and bring us to eternity. And in Christ, we see there's no one better. No man was ever better. No teacher ever better. Every other teacher is fraught with mistakes. And yet we've come across Christ. And they sold all they had in order to purchase this eternal worth. See, that's quite the opposite of making light of it. The Lord Jesus says, treasure in heaven. This man discovered treasure, and he discovered a goodly pearl that was above all the others. It is dangerous to make light. Let's hear the gospel. Let's turn urgently to the Saviour. Let's confess and repent of our sins. Let us beseech the Lord that his blood has covered our sins. Let us welcome him into our hearts. Let us welcome the Holy Spirit. Let us love everything that has to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be saved. The opposite is too awful to contemplate. The words of the Lord Jesus, where their worm never dieth, being eaten away permanently, not just their body, but their souls, but never to die. Jesus said that 3 times in a row. They make light of the gospel. Never make light of the gospel. When you speak to others, try not to let them make light of it. Be serious in your way of life. Be serious in the way you approach people. It's not always the right time. But when you do, make it to be something, because you've said it, that they will never make light of. Amen.